Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. So glad that y'all are here this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We like to find out who is in worship. The way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, if you don't mind, and write your name down. Give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it began this morning. We do ask the first person, if you could help us out, when that pew pad comes back to you, tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. We are having children's time today, so we're inviting the kids after the first hymn to come down and see Mr. David for just a few moments. Also, I need your prayers. I'm going to camp tomorrow, and so I need your prayers, and our adults and our teenagers. It's going to be a great week. We are going to Garden City Chapel, leave tomorrow and come back Friday. Hopefully the bus will take us there and return us. That is another prayer you can pray for. We're looking for a great week. We're studying the book of Ephesians and having no shark attacks, no sunburns. Those are our rules. Nobody goes to the hospital. So I would appreciate your thoughts and your prayers, just that God would move and that our people would be ready for him to move. You realize God's always got a word for us if we have the ears to hear. And that's what we're praying for, or those ears to hear. So thank you for your prayers. Other things are listed in your upcoming events and opportunities for the week. It is the middle of the summer, so we've got preschool day camp. We've got elementary day camp coming in a couple of weeks. So just make note of those things. This Wednesday, we continue our summer series, Sing a Psalm. Krista will be leading this week. So come at 6 and bring something to eat. And we'll start with prayer and Bible study around 6:30. So we look forward to that. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. We appreciate you giving us your information a moment ago on the pew pad. We're especially thankful for your presence in worship. If you're a guest, we ask you just raise your hand. The ushers will recognize you, and they'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. As you might have, I've already mentioned the youth camp prayer announcement, and there are a lot of details that go in when you're taking a ton of adults and teenagers away for the week. I mean, you gotta feed them. You gotta feed them some more. You gotta have a place for them to stay. You gotta have recreation. You gotta have worship, and you gotta make sure you have sunscreen, because they're gonna say, "Yeah, I put sunscreen on," and no, they didn't. I mean, you gotta have people in place to all these details that you have to have. And every time I do youth camp, I am amazed at God. This is a little youth camp for just a few, you know, but we've got about 75, 80 between of the churches that are going. And God is magnificent in his wisdom, in his power, in his creativity. And we get so worried about the little things. We serve a God who created the universe, put the stars in place, knows every hair on your head. Well, some of your heads. He knows everything about us. He's got us in the palm of his hand. This morning, don't worry. Let us not fret. Let us not be fearful, because we serve a great God who knows your troubles, knows your difficulties, and he is alive, and all he wants is us to walk with him. Isn't that good news? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your presence this and every day. in your presence, our lives make sense. When we are connected to you, then we understand. May we trust. May we rely on you for our very breath. Come in this place, we pray. No matter what pressures we're facing, and they are real, the difficulties, the trials, the questions, the doubts, we want to walk with you, so be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to welcome all the children to come down. Good morning, and good morning. How are y'all doing today? Y'all tired? I'm tired. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to talk about something that's really exciting today. Can anybody take a guess what we're going to talk about? That's exciting, but no. We're going to talk about love. Love is not exciting. Okay, yeah. Well, this love is very exciting. We're going to talk about God's love. What do you know about God's love? Do you know anything about God's love? Jesus. There you go. Good answer. You know anything about God's love, Matthew? Well, let me ask you something. You know about dinosaurs. You've talked to me about dinosaurs before. What's the biggest dinosaur in the world? Long neck families. Okay, yeah, they're the biggest. They're really big, huh? Yeah, they're gigantic. Well, God's love is bigger than the biggest dinosaur in the world. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's just amazing, isn't it? And that love is for all of us. He gave his only son to give for that love, to show us that love. You know what this is? Measuring tape. You know what they use this thing for? Yes, they build houses. They can build buildings. Look at this ceiling, how tall the ceiling is. They use this to measure how tall it is. You cannot even measure God's love with this. There's not even enough measuring tapes to measure how much God's love is. 2,000? It's bigger than 2,000.
1,000?
Yeah. Who likes to cook? You like to cook? Your mom does? Okay, good. You like to cook? Does anybody know what these are? Yep. Could we measure God's love in these cups? They're too little, right? And the Bible says God's love overflows our cups. For flour. Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go. And what is... I'm going to get to this. Anybody know what this is?
A timer.
You see, it's already been 6 long minutes, I'm telling you. Longer 6 minutes of my life. But even this timer, it can go all day long, all night, all week, and it still would not have enough time to measure God's love. So when we go away today, just remember God's love is bigger than anything in this universe, this planet, biggest dinosaur in the world, longest timer, longest measuring tape. A whole big dinosaur from the mouth to the end of the tail. Yeah, and it's longer than any one of you can ever talk. You know, no, y'all can't even talk as much as God loves. You can try, but you'll never get there. I just want you to go away remembering that God loves everybody and loves you, and it's never failing, it never ends, and it's always lasting. So let's pray. God, thank you for your love, and thank you for being there for every one of us. Amen.
Wow, that was a perfect introduction to the scripture we're getting ready to read together. That's found, if you will turn with me, Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Would you join me as we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come as a church body, before you today, coming to praise you in your awesome glory. You are greater and more majestic than anything that we could possibly comprehend. You are full of grace and beauty, and we praise your holy name together this morning. We humble ourselves before you and thank you that you, in your mystery, in your power, in your perfect ways, looked upon us with great compassion and mercy and sent for us a sacrifice through your Son, Jesus Christ, to provide a path for us to come to you and to have intimate fellowship with you, that you may be our greatest counselor, our help, that you may be our God and our friend, that you may be the one we worship and the one we cry out to in the darkest night. Thank you for revealing yourself to us not only through the majestic mountains, not only through the vast and beautiful ocean, but also through Jesus Christ, who opened the door for us to know you, to talk to you, to listen to your voice, to have the kind of guidance and help that can only come from you. Thank you for working where we cannot see. Thank you for blessing us in ways we'll never know till we are with you. Thank you for protecting us countless times that we're not even aware. Thank you for providing for our needs here upon this earth. Thank you for providing a heavenly home that we can live out our lives in fullness here, because we know that ultimately we will live with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know how many of you really and truly know what a building we have here. I don't know how many of you have been downstairs into the youth department. We have a youth department down there that is second to none. It really amazed me to go down there and see it. And I make my, when I get through counting money, I make my little walk from back there up through here, out to the vestibule, over to my seat. And all the time I'm walking, I'm looking and checking things out. And really and truly, we have an amazing facility, and we are so very blessed and very fortunate. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given us down through the years. We pray that we will be able to return a portion of that to you, and that you will use it to the ongoing of your work here on earth. Now, we ask that you would take these offerings, use them, and bless this church. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. 'Cause your glory is so beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe. And the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. 'Cause your glory is so beautiful.
Jesus, you are good. beautiful music. I came into the sanctuary this morning, and we had a great 9 o'clock service, so I was encouraged and lifted up. And I came into the sanctuary, and I looked right over here, and I didn't see my dear friend Edith McKinney. And I miss her. I miss her already. Edith passed away yesterday morning early from complications of a surgery. And we will miss her dearly. What a sweet smile. What a beautiful lady. The service for Edith will be Wednesday at 1 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And I know that you'll be lifting up Linda and Fred and all of their family as they kind of process this sudden loss. Edith was 95 years old. Wasn't that long ago she was celebrating her 95th birthday. And she's worshiping around the throne this morning. And so certainly we rejoice for her. But we plan to get together Wednesday and remember her life and offer up worship again. So Wednesday at 1 o'clock, I hope that you're able to be here. We come together and we worship. And there's a sense of joy and anticipation, I hope, in your heart as you come in to worship together. One of the things that I always enjoy is seeing where the lectionary reading is going to take us. This morning, I chose the epistle. In the lectionary, there's a gospel reading, there's an Old Testament reading, there's a psalm, there's usually an epistle. And this morning I chose the epistle because I thought it was particularly appropriate, as all scripture is certainly. But it just kind of spoke to me this week. And I want to read it for us because it also kind of leads up. Jeff, it was kind of interesting after sermon this morning, he said, we're going to be studying the first chapter of Ephesians. So God knew he had a plan. So this is just kind of an introduction to where they're going. But certainly in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 3 through 14. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom hath blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into full effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this magnificent introduction to teaching that Paul offers to the church, that you offered through him to us today. We pray now that as we go into a time of study, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, that we can learn more about who you are and who you would have for us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am deeply indebted this morning to several sources for thoughts and comments offered up, especially William Willimon, who has some great thoughts on Ephesians chapter 1. He reminded me of a story of Robert Fulghum. Do y'all know who Robert Fulghum is? He, if you recognize the book, All I Ever Really Need to Know, I Learned When? In kindergarten, yeah. That's Robert. He wrote that. It's a great story that he writes in that little book. And it talks about how he spent a week in Wiesner, Idaho one time. And talks about how tiny of a place it is. It's a little bitty town. You can look it up. He says it's hard to find, but if you look it up on Google Maps, it'll take you right there. It's a little bitty place in Idaho, only 4,000 residents for the most of the year. But there is one week, that that little town explodes, and that is the week that they have the Grand National Old Time Fiddlers Contest there. So I know you'll rush right out and Google that to see what's going on. But it's the Grand National Old Time Fiddlers Contest. And on that week, which is the last week in June, which was just over with, the last week in June, people descend on that little town in droves. Fiddlers come from all over. They come from Pottsboro, Texas. They came from Sepulpa. Is that right, Terry? Sepulpa, Oklahoma. They come from Caldwell, Kansas. Some come as far away as Japan, Nova Scotia, Ireland, and they all come together to play and to sing and to have a good time. Fulgham observes that once upon a time, fiddlers were pretty straight country people. The men had short hair. Their wives stayed at home and cooked and raised babies. And everybody went to church on Sunday. That's the way it was. Nobody questioned that. But then through the years, the Fiddler's Convention has changed. He said, you started having those long-haired hippie types begin to show up. Then you had people with tattoos and leather jackets show up on motorcycles, as he said originally. And some of those strange-looking people just happened to be wonderful fiddlers. Wonderful. Fulgham asked one of the old-timers there in the city what he thought about that new crowd when they started joining them. And the old man said, I don't care who they are or how they look. If you can fiddle, you're all right with me. He went on, it's the music we make that counts. It's the music we make that counts. Fulgham says that under those stars, with at least 1,000 people there picking and singing and fiddling together, he looked out and he saw fat and skinny people. He saw young and old people. He saw hippies and pretty much straight-laced people. He saw people of just about every color. And he said it was such a moving sight that he goes back year after year after year. He talked about one time he was sitting there playing his banjo next to one of the local policemen. And as they picked, the old policeman looked at him and winked and said, you know, sometimes the world seems like a mighty fine place. I suspect it does. I don't know, but I suspect maybe Paul had some fiddling music going on in his head. It would have been lyres back then, right? They played little lyres. Maybe he had a little bit of that lyre music going on in his head when he wrote this letter to the Ephesians. Because he was in a prison cell, and you typically don't think of something this upbeat, this singable, coming from a prison cell. But we know from his history, Paul sang a lot. He sang with Silas. We learned that as a child. He and Silas sang in a prison. And perhaps he was singing as he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he wanted those friends in those little house churches there to capture a vision of what he's trying to portray for them. He wanted to see that in the middle of a broken, divided, fractured world, that there could be a place, there could be church, there could be people, church, where we could all come together in spite of our many differences. He was hoping that they would find that there is a place of safety, of acceptance, of wholeness for all people. So what we find at the beginning of this letter to the church at Ephesus, in these first 14 verses minus the introduction, is really kind of an overture of everything that's going to follow. Everything that's going to follow in this book. All the themes that you see explored in the six chapters of this book are embedded right here in these verses. John McKay, who's a recognized leader in creation theology, has called these words, quote, truth as melody. In other words, it's a song. It was meant to be sung. You see, like the fiddlers up in Weezer, Idaho, It's the music that they made together that mattered. It's what brought them together. And it made no difference who they were, how they talked, how they looked. All that was important there was the larger goal of the music. And so for the church, the first century church, the early church, the church was so taken with this vision that Paul presents here in the first chapter that it became part of the liturgy of the early church. It worked its way into their prayers and into their songs, into their sermons, these words from Ephesians. Interesting. In his writing, he has three stanzas that we can kind of break this down. These three stanzas form the vision for any real Christian community. That's what Paul was trying to help us understand. In verses 3 through 6, we are first of all given a hymn to God. Look at them again. Let me read them one more time. Verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." What a hymn. That'll preach. I am. That'll preach. Paul knew the power. He knew whatever power that these little beleaguered churches possessed was not of their own doing. He knew that without God's power, they could be overwhelmed by the powers and the principalities or government and culture and everything else that's going around them. Everything in their life, Paul's saying, direct it toward God. Put your focus upon God. And it's only when you move away from this vision will you struggle, because you're trying under your own resources to deal with life. Paul says, no, you're children of the King. Act like it, walk like it, live like it. He says the vertical dimension, you and your relationship with God, that is and must be the primary relationship of your life. He recalls Israel's faith being reflected. And if we go back and look, their first prayer book, Israel's first prayer book, the Psalter, you know, they have visions of praise, you have lament, you have thanksgiving, you have doxology. All of these addressed to God. All of them addressed to God. And as you keep God in the center, you can deal with the harshness of the days, the impossibilities of the world, and you find the strength to go on. And so they began their worship with God. And as they sang, "Holy, holy, holy," and I said 9 o'clock, that's one of my favorite hymns of all time. It's right where we need to be. And as they sang, "Holy, holy, holy," and hopefully as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy," you get swept into this larger purpose, something much bigger than we've ever known. In the book God's Order by John McKay, he writes that the wonder of this music is when we see God as Father and the world is no longer an orphanage. Isn't that a beautiful image? God is Father and the world is no longer an orphanage. We're not left out there for some sort of cosmic loneliness. We are connected to one another. We are brought into this circle that we call family. We're brought into the circle that we call church. And it's something that we value. We recognize it and we value it here at College Park. This is what Paul wanted for the church. The fellowship, the worship. And so he goes on. From the vertical, he moves into the horizontal. Verses 7 through 10, not only do we see this as a hymn that's sung in praise of God, but it's a hymn to the world as well. Verses 7, again, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Paul is very much in tune with the gospel. Very much in tune with John 3:16 in this stanza. God really does love the world. God did reach down from heaven to touch earth. The Father knows every one of his children. As Jeff referenced earlier, when they go to youth camp, all the stuff that has to be done, you know, and God still shows up. You know, when we come together to worship together, when teachers are preparing the Sunday school lesson, God shows up. He cares about the details of our life. He cares about the hurt and the pain. He cares about us. He knows every single one of us. And Paul's vision here says that in Christ we have been delivered and we have found forgiveness. British theologian Wheeler Robinson told the story of a man who stood in the back of the sanctuary as the choir was practicing the 23rd portion of the Mass. And the text for that portion read, quote, "Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us." And he writes that as he was standing there, a man came in next to him and started listening to this beautiful, wonderful petition that was being sung in Latin. And the man began to moan again and again, "Oh God, if only he could, if only he could." And with that, he ran out of the church. And as I was reading the illustration, it troubled me. Because my response was, why didn't he run after him and tell him? He will. He can. He will. He will forgive you of your sin. He will. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me tell you how gracious God has been to me. Why didn't he run after him? You see, the music we make together says we can be redeemed and forgiven. In Christ, we have forgiveness. For the vision that was in Christ, not only would there be no north or south or east or west, but his love is endless, as David pointed out with the children. It's immeasurable. As far as the east is from the west, and they did not have western minds. They did not think west for south, the east for south. As far as the east is from the west was a line that never ended in opposite directions. In other words, they would never meet. His love is that endless. All things in heaven and earth are united once and for all under God's love. Verse 9 and 10, He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he set forth in Christ a plan for the fullness all time to gather things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. No more pecking order. No more we and they. No more them and us. God loves all of us, and he offers his grace freely to all who will accept. But even this global stanza doesn't end the hymn. He goes on, verse 11 through 14, the hymn becomes very personal. Notice the pronouns. We have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined. We, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people. You see, from behind bars, from behind prison bars, Paul knew this gospel was a personal word. It spoke to our hearts, each of us, individually, personally. And then he goes on in the second chapter, which we won't read, but here in the second chapter in this letter, this man who was in prison, cut off from his friends, cut off from family, cut off from work, under a sentence of death, by the way, writes a personal word that flows directly from these verses. In verses 11 and through 13 of chapter 2, he writes, So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, quote, by those who are called the, quote, circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, you all remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants or promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, that was then, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Man. I hope they get to that next week at camp. What a glorious truth. The words continue on in verse 19. And this is probably one of the most beautiful words, group of words that could be sung. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Yeah. It was an exciting time when those little house churches received an epistle from Paul. It really was. But when those little isolated congregations received this letter from prison, I would imagine they listened more intensely than usual. The president of the congregation would get up and open the letter and begin to read. And the message that came across is there is to be no more poor mouthing. There is to be no more woe is me. Neither should there be a Pollyanna approach to life. But what they heard was a simple music written from the heart of an old man out of years of faith experience. It was a hymn about the Father of them all. It was a hymn about a world without barriers or divisions. And most of all, it's a song that touched the hearts of all those who needed vision and who needed hope. And so when the church sings this great song, not only does the world seem to be a mighty fine place, but we begin to look at even the hard things of life, not with despair, but through the eyes of grace and wonder and faith. All praise and thanksgiving to our God. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, the words that you've offered up through Paul, glorious words of hope, glorious words of a vision of what you desire from us individually as well as the church. Father, we thank you for the words that are addressed right to our heart. We pray that they would shape our lives this week, that we would live according to the grace that we've been given to walk in, so that all those who come in contact with us will know that we're children of the King. We've been claimed, we've been redeemed. And Father, we pray that in all of that, that others may come to know you. God, and as we do all of that, we pray that our walk with you would be more joyful, more hopeful, more glorious each step of the way. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not understand what I'm talking about when I say a relationship with Jesus Christ, this day is for you. We desire deeply, God desires deeply for you to embrace the grace that He offers freely through His Son, Jesus Christ. As we've studied this morning and as we stand and sing in just a moment, I hope that tugging at your heart, you'll recognize that as the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about that, about your relationship with Christ and how you can walk with Him daily. If you're here and you're a believer already, but you say, Raymond, I didn't realize that there was so much to live for. I hope that through the lesson this morning that you've begun to get a grasp of that. And certainly you can talk with the Father right where you are and kind of get back on track. The altar will be open here. I invite you to come and pray if you'd like to. I'll be here. I'll be glad to speak with you. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, it's a good body of believers. Wonderful people. Not perfect, but forgiving. And we are very forgiving and accepting of one another, and we invite you to be a part of that. There's many ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. with me just one more minute. I want to tell you a brief story. Friday, we gathered together as the church and friends and family and community to worship and also to remember the life of Jim Cook. Many of you were there and had a time of worship with us. Following the service in reception at Smith Hall, I had something very unusual happen, and I have the gentleman's permission to share it, but I don't recall his name, which is not important, as it turns out. He came up to me as I was talking with someone else and was waiting there, and the gentleman had on blue blazer, dark hair, and he had a smile on his face that I'll never forget. And he shook my hand, and he said, "Pastor, I want to let you know." He said, the service today was life-changing. That's the phrase he used. He said it was life-changing. He said, "I always knew Jim Cook was a good man, was an honest man, a man of just incredible integrity." He said, but I found out today why he was like that. And he said, "And I know it had everything to do with his relationship with Jesus Christ." He said, "And from this day forward, I want my life to be more in tune with God's will." And he just kept reiterating how life-changing it had been. And I told him, "I will continue to pray for you as you walk." And he said, "Man, I'm filled up." And he said, "And I'm ready for tomorrow." And I looked at Charles earlier today. I said, "Man, that's all you hope for." I mean, sometimes when you're doing funerals, you're going, "Oh, man, another funeral this week." And then you have one of those stories, and that'll get you charged up for 100 more. I mean, it's glorious that God can work through the testimony of his people, even in life, even in death, that somehow God continues to get the glory. And people, that's what we're to be about. Amen? That's what we're to be about, to live our lives in such a way that our testimony would give God the glory for how we treat one another and how we praise him. Let's pray and thank him. Gracious Father, it's a beautiful day. It could be pouring rain outside, and it'd still be a beautiful day because it's a day that you've given each one of us to come together to worship you and to love one another. God, we thank you for that privilege, and we pray that we would extend that beyond these walls so that others that come in contact with us would know the source of our joy and our hope and our peace. And again, as we do all of that, we seek to give the glory to you. May it even be so. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Blessings, peace, greet one another.